Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Football Pubcast, show number 171. And I'm pretty sure it is 171, because I haven't got a crib sheet with me, but I'm pretty sure it was 170 last week.
Pretty sure it was, yeah.
As you can tell, I don't have a northern accent. I'm not an excitable Mancunian, who is so gutted not to be here today, especially because of the fact that when was the last time United got two decent results back-to-back? Unfortunately, he couldn't make it. So it is myself, Dan Silver. It is Christopher Stokes.
Hello.
And it is Tom Hunter.
Hello.
And for the first time this year, we have kicked off the podcast outdoors.
No dodgy run outside.
We are actually
field
sat
burn,
in the
Dan,
sun.
Field of burn.
I am, and I have got my my manly like pint of fruity cider.
Actually, the Guinness and London Pride is not looking so manly.
No.
Well, I'm comfortable with my sexuality, Thomas, to be able to drink.
You're the one that brought up manly. I'm just commenting on your
You even got the
suggestion.
Wrong one.
Well, you asked for fruity.
No, the berry one. Oh, a strawberry and lime.
I mean,
the berry one's got like a bit of manliness about it, whereas strawberry and lime's just, I've got like, no chance.
Sorry, I thought of you. Anyway. I thought strawberry and lime.
Yeah, I can't. That's fair enough.
Anyway.
All right, football.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even sure there was any Premier League games at the weekend, was there? But, I mean, there was... let's start off with United, shall we, as Cox was
Yeah,
not
well,
here.
I actually put a bet on for Bayern Munich to win that game 5-0.
Did you?
I actually put that bet on.
Yeah, how much did you lose?
£2. I would have won 80 had it come in. So
was it?
Fairly, they were 2-1 on. To win in Manchester.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Flat out win. It's 40-1 for the 5-0. But I'm going to put that bet
it's
on
worth two
in
quid,
Munich.
I'd put it on in Munich.
Because, like you say, two results back-to-back is all man you can pull together this year. Isn't
yeah.
It? So they're going to get mullered over in Munich.
I missed the first half, but watched the majority of the second half.
They were better in the first half than the second, man.
Yeah, because they were... I mean, a great header from Vidic to go 1-0 up. Great header.
They're unbeaten at home, aren't they, in the Champions League? I think they are at home.
How the fuck have they managed that?
Yeah. So it's not all doom and gloom, obviously, but still.
It's not all doom and gloom. No, but I mean, a great finish from Schweinsteiger as well, who they will miss in the second leg.
And
was it a dive from Rooney?
It most definitely was.
He didn't need to go down.
I don't believe all this bollocks about I had to get out of his way.
No, I'm actually...
You could hurdle a tackle and still land on your feet.
And he had to fall on the floor and scream in pain.
I hadn't seen it properly, and I watched a little clip of it just now, actually, before we came out. And you see that Schweinsteiger's going in, and you see him sort of hurdle the tackle and then throw his head back dramatically with the old as he's going, and you think, oh, Wayne, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. It's not like you said, you can hurdle a tackle and carry on. Like,
Especially that late in the game.
I'm not defending Rooney for it. The problem with it sometimes is when you're impeded by hurdling what would be a foul, the refs don't give you the advantage.
100%, and which is actually, sorry to throw a little Spurs hat in, but Ericsson against Southampton. Yeah, Southampton the other week, when the two defenders came in, and if he'd have stayed on his feet, they would have chopped him down. He probably would have got cut to pieces, but he hurdled them both, and then in doing that, couldn't quite get the final touch to get the shot on goal.
Yeah.
So that, yes, I understand that. But, I mean, where was it? It was middle of the pitch, wasn't it?
It was about 10 yards outside the 18-yard box, yeah. It was Rooney's fault, initially, because he overran his touch.
Yeah, poor
touch. And then he sprinted to get through. He was always going to get the ball first. So it is silly from Schweinsteiger, but anyone that can sit there at a straight face and tell me that's a booking, it's barely a free kick.
Yeah.
I mean, there was some... how there was still... 11 men on each pitch in the Chelsea game last night, I thought. Ramirez a couple of times, there's a couple of boys on yellow cards. You're thinking, I mean, if you hadn't been on a yellow, that was definitely another yellow.
I don't hardly ever give any kudos to refs. But a few games I've seen Clattenburg in lately, he's let games go really well, and I've liked the fact that he's letting tackles go and trying to use his whistle as little as possible. That is a ref's job.
And they've clearly agreed with you because they rewarded him the fucking Real Madrid game last night.
Excellent.
You know that? I flicked over to the highlights. Clattenburg refereeing went, I mean, I'm not his biggest fan, mainly because he seems to hate Spurs for some reason. But yeah, and I was like, fair play. There was one point where it shot to him, and he did look like he was shitting himself a little bit. Like he did, like he sort of gave it. He puffed his cheeks out. I can't remember what there was an incident or something, but he just looked like it looked
what
like
am
the,
I doing?
The
where
entire
am I?
Time. He's like, yeah. "This is your Champions League quarter final. What oh the fuck God. Am I doing?"
St Mary's, where you can just slag off Adam Lallana and carry on with it.
Yeah, exactly. Tell him he's a tart and carry on.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, so yeah. United, I mean, good week for United.
Yeah, but that's the point, though, isn't it, with referees? The less you see them, the better they are, surely.
Yeah.
And when you see things like, you know, Schweinsteiger can't complain. I've not got any ideas of that, but I know for a fact he's dived and cheated and all that lot. He just can't do it as a professional footballer these days, really. And moan about somebody else, because they all do that.
Yeah.
And the sooner refs let things like that carry on and the game flow, the better it'll be.
Yeah, well, that's what everyone wants to see, a flowing game, don't they? And it's.
But also, the other thing I was going to say that I didn't like about Munich was surrounding the ref. I mean, I know English footballs, they have moved on a little from that. Years ago, with Man U getting right in trouble with, was it eight of them pushing the referee back?
Oh, the old Vieiras and.
Yeah, but things have moved on in the Premier League. They're not that bad anymore. Whereas, like I was saying last week, see that Betis game, they surrounded the ref. Munich was surrounding the ref last night. Night before when Valencia, they were trying to get him sent off, which I think was a perfectly fair tackle. Got a bit of the ball, hit the man.
I would say that was a second booking. I reckon that was a second booking. Although, brilliant tenuous link. Speaking of refereeing incidents, which we'll nip to this quickly. Referee Carlos Amarilla, I think he's Paraguayan, was refereeing in the Copa Libertadores. I'm learning Spanish as well. I really should be fucking better at this. Copa Libertadores, group stage. It was Independiente de Valle. That's all one team, by the way. Against San Lorenzo, gives a very, very dubious penalty in the 95th minute. 95th minute with with San Lorenzo were 1-0 down and they got the penalty kick in the 95th minute, and I said it was fucking dubious. Like it didn't look like it was a lot of contact anyway. So the geezers put the ball in the back of the net. Junio Sosnora, god, I'm so good at this.
Another penalty.
And at the final, the referee blows the whistle as soon as a penalty kick goes in the back of the net. So he doesn't even give me the opportunity. Anyway, as the final whistle goes, you've got to have. I will tweet this from the podcast actually, because I can do it. Coxon fucking won't. It's mental. Like Independiente lot just fucking absolutely go after the ref. And when I say go after the ref, I mean. There's riot police that come on with the shields, the whole lot. There's about 10 riot police standing in front of the referee and the officials, protecting them from the players who are fucking like trying to get at them. Like absolutely mental. Like it's, you're looking at it going, "This can't." I mean, this can't be a professional
never
football.
Well, you know, you always hear the.
Sorry, that's just an absolute. I mean, this happens, Tom.
I
get distracted. I'm not sure what it was like from the front, but from
great,
the back, it was magnificent.
Pick your jaw up.
I mean, that was outstanding. Sorry.
Anyway, moving on. Stay on referees, even. There's always been the old argument between, you know, the rugby players and how well they are with refs and how poor footballers are. I don't think it'd take much from UEFA or FIFA to bring in the, you know, they've already brought it in. It's supposed to be the captain speaking to them. Isn't
yeah, never
but
happens.
But actually, a bit of respect turn around.
Mate, argument, you agree.
The minute a referee blows a whistle, most Premier League, because that's mostly what I watch, the first thing they turn around is scream, is fuck off at the ref.
Yeah, the very first thing.
Now.
Mate,
we've all played football on a Saturday, and when you do that, you're sent off in 2 seconds flat, aren't you?
Yeah.
You just cannot do that.
Especially the ref. The ref turns around straight away and goes, look, I won't take any bad language whatsoever. Yeah. You tell me to fuck off, you'll be off.
My brother's been sent off for swearing at one of our players.
I've had that before. Like, ref, he's a dickhead, ref. He's my dickhead.
Yeah.
No, I said no foul language. Right, fair enough.
But I
agree. Being one of the...
Why have they got different rules in the Premier League?
100%.
Why do professional refs allow that?
I don't know.
Beginning of the next season, they say, right, no bad language. I mean, it's different between swearing to make your point and swearing at somebody. Even footballers can understand that.
A lot of time I'll go... I mean, I'm one of the rare breeds that's played rugby and football. And I... I really appreciate that side of the respect for the referee. And that's what I'm very respectful for a referee in the football I play. And I'm not being funny. A lot of the time, it helps me out. I butter the ref up, like especially before the game or at the start of the game. You do.
Just imagining you bringing like some presents for the
nice little bunch of flowers,
yeah, or an apple or something.
Yeah. But then I butter him up, and then if I go in for a bit of a late challenge or something, which I'll probably tend to do, put my hands up.
Sorry,
you definitely
ref. Do.
Yeah, I definitely do.
And he knows you're not an outright.
No, I'm not. He's going to let it slide, and I just think that.
Show a bit of courtesy.
Yeah. Doing that, I think it should be brought in, without a doubt. I think it makes a hell of a lot of difference. And like you said, there's a difference between, oh fuck, again, not only is guaranteed I'm going for a late challenge, there's also a guaranteed I'll fuck up at some point as well. And I'll swear at myself. I'll be like, oh, you dickhead. Yeah. But I'll swear at myself. I won't be, or if the referee gives a decision against me I don't agree with, I might go, oh, for fuck's sake. But I won't go,
you fucking
got ref,
prick,
you, yeah, and I won't have a go at the ref. I might swear as a generalisation,
well,
but I won't direct
years
it.
Years ago, didn't it? Do you remember, this is late mid-90s, I think it was, when the Premier League toyed with miking up the refs, which is already done now, obviously, but they didn't tell the players at the time, and Tony Brilliant. Adams got caught calling the ref a cheat.
Yeah.
Made a decision, Tony Adams got caught calling him a cheat. When asked afterwards, he said, if I knew the ref was mic'd up, I wouldn't have called him in. Well done, Tony Adams. Fucking
you haven't thought that through, have you, Tony? Or Muppet. Anyway, right. We've done the referees. Yeah. I could talk about that all day.
Yeah,
but let's go back to, obviously, without Jim and Andy here, there's...
Considerably less
lower league football. I mean, I've avoided it for a good... How long? Oh, I can't even tell. 20 minutes, I reckon. Oh, no, 12. Is that it?
Yeah.
But we'll talk about the shower shit that was Tottenham at the weekend as well. I genuinely nearly put a bet on it. I mean, I'm not a betting man, but I very nearly put a 5-0 bet on.
Yeah.
I thought it's going to be 5-0. I thought, Jesus Christ.
A woman has just walked past wearing a mustard yellow velour jumpsuit, is that?
A tracksuit combo, I think.
Yeah. Anyway, it's fucking vile.
I was worried. Fashion comments.
I wasn't expecting that.
Fucking state of us three. I was expecting bad things. You know, we are not playing well. We're defending like shit. And they are on absolute fire. And I mean, it didn't help that we gave them the first two. And it just, from that point, I was just sitting there going, please don't let it be 7 or 8. Please don't let it be 7 or 8. And, you know, it's just,
Who is the first choice back four for you?
No idea.
Because I thought Cabool was coming back, was supposed to be the new linchpin, you know. He's supposed to be play a decent footballer, decent defender.
When he's on form, the boy is fantastic. Yeah. Like, he is absolutely out of this world. He's got the power, the pace. He is fantastic, but he's prone, especially because, he's not had a decent run. Mm. But he's, as well, or a season, because he's always fucking injured, but he's prone to messing up. And that's the problem, that he needs someone next to him with a really good head on their shoulders to be able to direct him. And I think Vertonghen just looks like, he's interested.
Yeah.
I just think he looks too casual. It almost looks like he's thinking, I'll be at a Champions League team next year, so I don't really care.
Kyrgios or whatever his name is.
He's been injured with a back injury. He's coming back into training now.
What
but
was that ludicrous Kabul transfer rumour you told me about?
Oh, it was a brilliant transfer rumour that came out yesterday.
April Fool's Day, yeah.
Well, maybe, yeah. Well, Kabul was going to do a Sol Campbell, go to Arsenal on a free in the summer. He tweeted later on that morning, I can confirm 100% that rumour is not true. Thank you, Eunice, for just pointing that out.
It'll still get green, especially for that.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Even mentioning it. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, there's again. I reiterate. I really hope we finish seventh. I don't want the European football next year. I think it'll do us a favour if we don't have it.
Sherwood will still be in the job, or they'll go for the Dutchman.
I think Van Gaal's either got the job or they'll get someone else in. I can't see him keeping it.
It doesn't matter where Sherwood finishes, they'll just get
him. Yeah, I think so. The whole point that he's now sitting himself in the stands and not on the touchline, so he doesn't get himself in trouble. It's almost like saying, oh, he gets a better view up there and prevents any possible touchline clashes.
Yeah.
Thinking, well, do you get a better view? And that's it. And talking about him, that he learns more about his players from up there. This is a man that's supposed to have been at the club for how long and knows the players inside and out.
And now also, Premier League clubs now have volumes on volumes of data about each game, haven't they? I mean, if Sam Allardyce's kick and rush teams have got all the information in the world, surely Spurs, who play a bit of football, know a bit more about what their players are doing.
Yeah.
Going back to Spurs not having European football might not be a bad thing. Look at Liverpool.
No, mate, that's right, mate, that's
European football, Premier League teams play a lot of games, especially within the European competitions involved.
They're only ranked 32nd, though. It came out this morning that they could face a group next in the Champions League with like Real Madrid and Juventus or something, because they haven't been in Europe for so long. They'll be proper.
It won't be the
country's coefficient. It'll be the teams.
Yeah, it depends on, because that's what Coxon was saying about how part of him hopes that United get into the Europa League so they keep their European status.
Yeah,
and rather than lose it completely, so you're the points you get, you do get Champions League.
Yeah, that's the reason why Celtic this year were in a team of all, first time ever in a Champions League, all European Cup winners. And they finished bottom, unfortunately.
Naughty boy this week.
Yeah, he has been, Lee Griffiths.
Lee Griffiths.
Whilst I'll defend him to the hilt, because Hearts are the Edinburgh Rangers and they deserve to be slagged off.
Yeah.
They've also gone bust like Rangers.
Yeah.
I don't know what song it was he was singing, slagging off the Hearts fans, but you got to love a fella that used to play the Hibs. He's gone in the Hibs end to support them in the Edinburgh Derby and then get singing along for to slag off them.
Yeah.
Levels, you know? I remember going to the All Ireland Celtic Supporters Club dinner a few years back when Neil Lennon was a player. And, you know, he was mingling with the fans and having a laugh and that. Now, if that gets reported, he's completely out of context. He's not talking about anything sectarian, anything bad.
Yeah.
He's just having a laugh
with
the fans.
It's the power of the fucking internet now, isn't it? The fact that someone's caught a video of it. It's now on YouTube, and now he's getting done by the SFA.
What is it, bringing the Football Association into disrepute?
It was. He's been charged with... breach of disciplinary rule 86, not acting in the best interest of association football by singing in public about the administration.
Yeah, what a fucking piss poor rule that is.
That is,
I mean,
a backward
rule. Sake, you turn around and if you're grumpy in the morning, you're not showing proper respect for the FA. It's a load of bollocks. I know he's had his troubles, Lee Griffiths, but I think that's harsh.
We've got Tom's opinion on that. It's bollocks.
Bullshit.
Just really going back to the... what I found very good and what I really liked about the Spurs fans in the Liverpool game, there's a video that came up at 4-0 down. It's a brilliant little video. At the Spurs end, the Spurs fans started singing "Let's pretend we've scored," and so sing "Chant Let's Pretend We've Scored," and then celebrate as if they scored a goal.
Like, great acting job. There.
Yeah, we've come up to Liverpool for the day.
Yeah.
We're trying, but we're 4-0 down.
We're not going home empty-handed.
No, let's celebrate like we've scored a goal, and then like a big cheer for like 30 seconds if they scored. Like, I really like that.
You know.
I think that doesn't get nearly enough attention, as much attention as it should, because for a while there, I was reading a lot of that Secret Footballer.
Yeah, yeah.
And whilst he does make some interesting points, his number one gripe is the fans. He slags them off mercilessly about homophobia, about racism, about everything. And whilst, there are certainly fans out there that are pricks, football's fuck all without them, and they have a right good laugh doing it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to be able to do that at 4-0 down is pretty funny. And good on him.
But so right, for fuck's sake, if you can't have a laugh while supporting your team.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it is just a
good thing.
Fans get way too much grief, I reckon.
Yeah, but it's the problem, it's the idiots that ruin it for everyone else. But
yeah. That's the thing, a few of them, and they tar the entire fandom with it.
Yeah, that's true. I'll tell you who is looking very good, and what makes the game on Sunday unbelievably interesting is Everton.
Yeah.
I mean,
without a doubt.
They're four points behind. They're at home to Arsenal this weekend.
Yeah, it's this weekend. So that's going to be a really interesting fixture, definitely.
Massive, especially. And they're playing fantastic.
But they're going to be losing Lukaku, obviously, at the end of this season.
Well, there's talks, isn't there?
Talks for going to Spurs. Yeah, I'd love Lukaku.
You reckon Chelsea would let him go?
25 million. This is the problem. Chelsea, obviously, he's a Chelsea player. Why?
You're a Chelsea player.
No. He's sorry. Oh.
You're not seeing him on the
side. Oh, I didn't see him.
Oh, we'd have to go a while to make me put a Chelsea shirt on. But the why wouldn't they have him back? He's fucking amazing. Why wouldn't they? Surely they need a striker player.
And all Mourinho seems to want is Drogba Mark II, doesn't he?
And Lukaku fits that bill, definitely.
Yeah. I don't understand. I don't get it. There's obviously something more to it. Supposedly he doesn't want to play for Mourinho, or Mourinho
doesn't
like him.
Do they think he's too green? Do they think he's too young? And he can't feel. He's definitely not.
He's doing the push seven,
and Everton are pushing for a Champions League spot this season. And you know, you can't say it was all down to him, but he's got a massive part to play in that. And why not have him back? That's what they need.
And the Everton team as well, where Morales was on the bench against Fulham.
Yeah.
And he's a wonderful player.
Well, they've got some really good wingers now. Again, my Celtic hat on. They've got McGeady there.
Who put a wonderful ball through for...
I know what ball you mean. I can't remember who got the goal now.
Was it?
They've got Morales.
He might be going back to Barca, but
He's still good. I mean,
Moyes must just be feeling sick as a dog, though. Really, I mean, seeing how well they do.
But you know what good business it is from Everton. Yeah, they're in a manager that got relegated. That's got to be a real worry.
And you look, I mean, they've got obviously Barry, Lukaku, and Deulofeu. Like the three players that have been fantastic for him this season, and they're all loan players. Yeah. But so you got to look for next year. But talk about work and what you've done.
And Barry in the middle there for them.
Yeah.
But then again, if you get in Champions League football, it's not exactly going to be hard to attract decent players, rather than Everton finishing 8th, 7th, for example. Yeah. So good luck to him.
Got to talk about Palace beating Chelsea as well.
Yeah, that was great.
That was fantastic.
Another away from home disaster.
Yeah. Mate, absolutely. What's it? They've lost the last 4 out of 5 away games now.
Villa,
I think it was a 1-0 late goal, same sort of thing. So,
and then obviously the PSG game last night.
Yeah.
They
weren't just backs to the wall as well, Palace. They had a few chances.
Yeah.
Punching had a really, really good chance and just clipped.
It's not a nice place to go, Palace.
Yeah.
It's really not a nice place to go.
I know, I've been there, unfortunately.
I'm not talking about as the places in general as well. I'm talking about the ground, but. Yeah. Yeah, and obviously the 3-3 West Brom Cardiff as well. What a ridiculous game that was.
Oh, yeah, it was right at the death, wasn't it, Brighton?
Two goals right at the
like, Did you see that arsehole Savage on final score?
No.
Having a go at Pepe Mel because it wasn't really a high five. It was sort of a high five handshake to Solskjaer. It was sort of an exasperating Jesus Christ.
Is that after the final whistle?
Yeah. No, that's just an honest reaction.
Yeah.
Savage is going, if I was a fan, I wouldn't like to see him. Yeah. If you're a fan, you'd be a prick. Savage is still a prick.
He almost
sarcastically high fives him, if you know what I mean. Because he sort of high fives him and he turns his head away. As if to like, I'm really pissed off. It wasn't a high five. Oh, well, what you're going to do. Yeah. It was a high five. It's like, I can't believe that just happened, you bastards. Yeah. To be fair, the Arsenal Man City game wasn't bad either.
Yeah, true. I missed that.
It could have been a lot worse.
Man City didn't play
too badly.
No,
it could have been a lot worse.
You think against City at home, so that's got to be a decent draw for you when you consider how you've done it.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll take a point all day, mate. All day. Yeah. Especially City. Anyone will take a point against City, I think.
I really like
Giroud, though, is. I really feel we need to improve the striking department at the moment. We can't just have Giroud.
Yeah, but if you look at.
He goes anonymous.
I think most people do. Obviously, Liverpool got it in the bag. City have got it in the bag. But look at Spurs, look at Arsenal, look at Chelsea. Or Everton will need to next year. Yeah.
For the best part of this part of the season, we haven't had Cazorla, we haven't had Wilshere, we haven't had Ramsey. Yeah. Ozil.
Well, Ramsey was absolutely.
Oh no, you've had Ozil, but he just hasn't been on the pitch.
Was the chant I heard an Arsenal fan tell me the other day? Or it might have been somebody else. It might have been a Spurs fan. Your eyes are offside.
Yeah, that was me.
The bug-eyed Bavarian.
That was me.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
See, was it last
one
night?
One of the funniest chants I heard was I remember a mate of mine when Fulham ladies were professional, Katrina, she was a captain of them, and she got me tickets to Fulham Bolton. Back when Michael Ricketts was playing for Bolton, and the Fulham fans, about an hour into the game, started a chant, "If Ricketts played for England, so could I." And good on him, he turned around and applauded them for it, because he only got a couple of caps, he knew it. And he...
good lad.
He disappeared after that.
Speaking of good lad, and we talked about how much of a fan... Oh, bollocks. Oh, bollocks. What's her name? The actress who fucking loves Gary Neville.
Keira Knightley.
Oh, yeah. How much Keira Knightley loved Gary Neville. I loved his quote the other night when asked who did he want to win the title out of City and Liverpool. Did you see this on the Monday Night Football? Yeah. Brilliant. He turned around and said, quote, Gary Neville, Liverpool versus City for the title is like choosing between two men trying to steal your wife. Like, but I thought when he first said it, I thought, I was live on television, brilliant. Yeah. I thought he said trying to hit your wife. Or I thought he said...
Well, he is a Northerner.
Yeah, well, I thought he said... Steady.
Any Northerners listening, tweet in, let us know what you think.
Oh, no, please don't. I thought he said, yeah, choosing between two men who'd hit your wife. I went, hang on, he didn't just say that, did he? But it turns out it was still your wife. But yeah. Either way, absolutely brilliant from Gene.
Oh, that never was a pundit, he's good.
That reminds me of the famous quote supposedly attributed to Dennis Law when he, 1966, World Cup final, he's out on the golf course, just got beat. Come back.
He wasn't playing foot golf, was he?
No, he wasn't, unfortunately. Oh. Come back to be told that England had just won the World Cup, and he says, well, that's just fucking ruined my day completely. The Scottish international that is Dennis
Law.
Great.
Yeah, sorry, speaking of Gary Neville, though, you see that him, Giggsy, Phil Neville, Scholes, and Nicky Butt have bought a non-league side at Salford City.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've basically. Got
in the
big
shadow
venture.
Of the old Main Road, maybe?
Was that Scholes, sorry?
Yeah, Scholesy, Nicky Butt.
I think Scholes used to play for Salford.
Phil Gary Neville
and Giggsy. Scholes used to play for Salford.
Yeah, he's from around those parts.
Yeah,
isn't
he's a local
I think
lad.
He's an Oldham fan, I've read somewhere, but he's local. That's
yeah, right, you're yeah. Right. I think they said. I think they've said something like 10 years they want to get him to the Championship or something like that. Like, so, yeah, so. And it's basically all about developing grassroots football and young English talent.
Well, you could.
I think it's brilliant.
It's far to find a worse team to back it. Team less to back it.
Team less to back. Yeah, absolutely.
To see it actually happening. You know, you don't hear about those things often. And you know, with the amount of money being taken out by the government from grassroots football, I mean, the fucking changing rooms I've had to change in over the years are a disgrace.
We've stopped changing the changing rooms.
Yeah.
We don't bother with changing rooms anymore.
That bad now. I haven't played Saturday football for a while.
No, we don't bother. We've our teams are. A non-showering team.
Fuck yeah.
Which isn't very nice for the people, especially when we play in obviously at Holland Park, which is our home ground. We go to the Mitre, which is one of the poshest fucking pubs in
and
West
you're
London.
You're still wiping the mud off your
Yeah, hands. A little bit. I always feel a little bit guilty, but what are you going to do? We're spending money now, what are you going to do?
No, it's a disgrace, you know, when you see all these multi-million pound facilities and the government and the FA and the Premier League are cutting funding at grassroots football.
Tell you what,
so
they've...
You can't even change after a game.
No, I think... Did I mention the other week about Hackney? Though they bunged a lot of money into Hackney Marshes and the pitches up there. Yeah, look really, really good. Actually, a mate of mine who plays for another team, I haven't got the match. I've got the incident report, but I'm not really sure I should share it. There was one of the other teams he played for. It was Spaniards against Real FC, I think they are. Basically, Real FC. Apparently, it's the biggest bunch of cunts. And sorry, Seabon, there we go. Known to, on this planet. And the game got abandoned after 20 minutes of the second half because it was an all-out attack. And like the police have been called. This is on Hackney Marshes, right? That's why I remind me of it. And our mate sent the research, the evidence, referee's report that over to us. Went, lads, have a look at this. It is. You don't really hear it happening that much still in grassroots football. Yeah. But
well, I mean, point.
It was like one geezer had concussion, like one geezer had like his eyebrows split open, the old bill were called, one guy got arrested on the day, and like it was apparently all out pandemonium. You hate to see that. Like,
it's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing, especially apparently because the team that my mate plays for is the Spaniards, and they were apparently, the referee said that on his report that there was all they were doing was putting their hands up in a sort of surrender position to say, look, we don't want any of this. Yeah. But then apparently it was like something out of a film where... One little scuffle happened in the centre circle after a bit of a sort of 50-50, and then all the other players on the pitch just started punching the players next to them.
Jeez.
So like that's why they reckon it was like a pre-planned assault.
Event.
And yeah, like
it's fucking embarrassing, mate.
Absolutely disgraceful.
Shame on you.
Going back to footballers doing bits for buying, investing in things. Danny Mills is doing a great bit for the community, and he is part of a consortium. looking to buy the West Cornwall Pastry Company.
Whee!
Which is really struggling at the moment, and he's obviously a man that clearly likes his pasties.
His baked goods.
He loves his pasties, and he's doing his best to save them. So, good luck, Danny.
Bollocks, I've been saving that company for the last 15 years. I don't know what he's going on about.
We've got a heartwarming, well, could have been dangerous, but brilliant story this week. Jabba Kankava is pretty much has been given credit for potentially saving the life of Oleg Gusev.
Yeah, you've got to see the footage of that. Yeah.
I haven't seen the collision, and I'm not really sure I want to.
Well, it's fairly innocuous, you know. You see the keeper come out, and he's sort of claiming it like normal, and I think it's his knee.
Yeah, but I'm not a goalkeeper, right? And I know goalkeepers want to protect themselves. But when you jump and you're leading with your knee, don't like to see that from goalkeepers, because I know you're protecting yourself, but when you're jumping, and obviously these goalkeepers aren't small, and when they're jumping at full stretch, their knee is about head height.
Yeah, because they can do that.
Because they can, that is. And he's jumped, he's led with his knee, and he's collided with Gusev's head.
Yeah.
He's been completely knocked out. And Jabba Kankava, who's a Dynamo player, ran over, forced his hands into his throat to clear his airwaves and move his tongue to stop his swallowing his tongue. And by that point, the medics came in.
He swallowed his tongue and he was dragging it out the back of his throat. So the
art. Oh really? Yeah. I read it.
Because you know when you first see it, you think, he's doing it just in case. But no, it's proper panicking him when he's on it.
He knew what he was doing, quite frankly, because there's not many footballers out there that would probably know how to save someone's life in that respect. No. So fair play to him.
That's fucking brilliant. And he's all right. Apparently, as well. So, really nice to see.
Yeah.
What a bit of banter as well. The Standard Liège fans against Anderlecht postponed the game for a while from what can only be described as a toilet paper avalanche. Right?
Wow.
I mean, have a look at that.
Fucking hell.
I mean, that is.
Yeah. That is
classic, absolutely. Wow. I mean, and that
I've never seen anything like it. I mean, get online, see that.
It's a toilet paper avalanche.
Yeah, if you look up in the dictionary, that picture would be next to it.
I mean, I'll tweet that out later on this afternoon as well.
Jeez,
how much of that? I mean, not save the trees, obviously.
Yeah.
But how much? I mean, that is a lot of toilet roll.
Yeah. Great marketing.
That is thousands upon thousands
of sheets of toilet paper.
Do you reckon they got it out of the toilet, or did they bring it with them, or did they get it out of the toilet?
Do you reckon you can sneak in toilet paper?
Imagine that, getting caught at the turnstile.
Well, I don't see how they're going to turn you away with a bog roll, really, are they? If everyone brings one bog roll.
Yeah. Well, they will now.
And you know, personal hygiene. You know, they're worried that the toilet paper in the toilets might not be sufficient.
It would be a bit weird, though, if every fan turned up with one.
Well, it must have done.
That's quality. There's a lot there.
It looks like pretty much every fan in that end has got a bog roll with them.
They've just thrown it onto the pitch, and it's like a cascade. It's like a waterfall, a Niagara Falls. It is. It's very artistic. Fair play to the Belgians.
Also, this
wonder
just
we'll
in.
See that at Charlton FC soon.
Yeah. Also, this just. Leighton Baines loves ice cream.
Look at him there, wow.
After the Fulham game, at Craven Cottage, he is pictured at a local ice cream van getting an ice cream.
Good man himself.
What did he get, a 99?
He blatantly got a 99.
Of course
he's lost his sideburns. When did that happen? He's had a haircut. Oh, he's trimmed it all up.
Are you sure that's
I noticed that during the game. Yeah,
must be a lookalike.
I noticed it during the game.
Lookalike.
During the game, there's two pictures. It definitely him.
Strawberry sauce, obviously.
Wow, you thought so. Anybody else?
What was that Simpsons thing?
Oh, that's bollocks. That was Coxon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coxon talking about the latest.
Coxon trying to give us a script for the show.
Yeah, I mean, what
is he playing?
Something about the latest Simpsons episode about Homer being invited to referee at the World Cup after Lisa made a speech about his sense of fair play. Then Brazilian gangsters tried to bribe him, but he refused, and Germany ended up
Simpsons
winning the final.
Simpsons is shit now, anyway,
isn't it? Yeah, I watched it.
And apparently there was a good Mickey
and
taken
it's
of South.
It's a fucking American programme. No,
I mean, fuck off, Coxon. Don't like the news from a Spurs point of view. That didn't realise that Levy, because the new stadium is supposed to be ready for the 2017. Kick off the 2017 campaign, so summer 2017.
Yeah.
Which and it looks fucking sexy. Yeah. If I do say so myself, it does look nice.
It's a bit north, but it's a bit further.
Northumberland Park.
Yeah,
it's a bit easty, isn't it?
For fuck's sake, if they can move in the shithole area it's in now, the better.
Oh, mate, I know, it's horrible. But it's all part of, there's a massive redevelopment and shit. They're trying to make it the next like Stratford, Brixton, up and coming. Yeah, fucking good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
But I didn't realise that apparently Levy had already failed an attempt to get Upton Park for 2016-2017.
What?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I've only found out this morning.
Imagine that. Instead, then, or what?
Thomas, you are a fucking mind reader. You are an absolute mind reader. And I know you haven't cheated either, because you're a good lad like that. That is the latest move. Apparently, Levy is thinking about trying to get Wembley for the season. But 90,000 seaters. Like, I don't get me wrong.
You've got, what, 40,000 normal around
36, but I think the one for the 2017, the one that's probably going to happen, is 58,000. It's just under 60,000. Which is reasonable.
I have no doubt that Spurs will be able to fill 60,000 without out. 90,000, yeah,
maybe not
so much.
Yeah, and then you don't want that. You don't want empty seats.
You know, you close the upper tiers and you've got a full ground anyway.
I just think it'll lose a bit, won't it?
I don't know.
And it's a fucking mission to Wembley as well.
Yeah.
The fucking tube stops right on top of it.
For me, then again, it's a fucking mission to Spurs and all.
Yeah, but it's a mission to Spurs, to White Hart Lane, from any tube or train stop going. You've got about a 40-minute walk.
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's get the little cheeky Northumberland Park.
This just in as well, I think Joey Barton has slagged off Rooney, calling him, he basically said he wasn't a world-class player.
On what grounds?
He's compared him to Ronaldo. Real Madrid Ronaldo.
Yeah. What do you mean he's compared it to him?
He's basically said, Ronaldo scored 17 goals in the Champions League this
Ronaldo's
season.
Ronaldo
scored 14 goals in the Champions League, and Rooney's only scored 17 in all competitions or something like that.
Yeah.
Basically just come out for no apparent reason, slagging off Rooney.
Slagging him off.
Classic fucking Joey Barton. Nice one, mate.
What do you think about the England kit?
I think the price is a disgrace.
What gets me is people slagging it off. Don't buy it then. Don't fucking buy it, and we'll see what happens.
That should happen.
Yeah.
That's the thing with English fans.
They won't. Yeah.
However, the Mirror put a very interesting article up when that came out. But actually, it's just slightly cheaper than the average. When you look at all the others, and you look at all, when you, they went to
sorry,
the,
is 90 quid the full shirt?
No, no, just the shirt. It's 60 quid for the replica shirt, or 90 quid for like the genuine
that they wear on the pitch.
But the thing is, the average for when you look at something like 15 the other top countries, all taken from their official websites, was 62 quid for the shirt, and the average for the proper match day one was 100, I think. I'm not defending the prices. The prices are fucking ridiculous. But I'm just saying it's not like we're the only country that's screwing over their fans by charging ridiculous amounts. Yeah. It's a standard thing.
Don't buy it. If you think it's too much,
don't buy it. Fucking trendy hipster with your barber jacket with the sleeves rolled up a bit because you're wearing it because it's ironic. Fuck off, Stokes. Jesus.
Talking of international kits, the USA kit is pretty cool. It's basically just stars and stripes. It's like the flag they've got. It's red, white and blue. Pretty good.
It's better than Scotland's away kit in pink.
Ah, that is abysmal. I thought that was a joke
when that came out. I'm not sure if you're going to see many jocks wearing that.
Definitely not.
Although, do you think it's now gone past that point where they then prove themselves that they're manly enough to wear the pink shirt?
No.
It's never going
to
happen.
I think there's a fairly straightforward answer to that one, and you got it.
Oh, dear. Well, looking forward to the games at the weekend. Obviously, we've already spoken about...
That's going to be a big fixture for both teams.
Man City, Southampton. Southampton have performed pretty poorly against the top lot.
Yeah.
I think they've got... If they get it together when they demolish Newcastle, albeit a really poor, not playing for anything Newcastle side, they've got the sort of side that Southampton should be able to do well against anyone, even the top-class sides.
We'll get a result out of it, but it is at City, so...
And if you get the England front three scoring again... I know that could be them shooed in and Andy Carroll knocked on the head for Brazil.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Lambert Carroll is a big debate, isn't it?
Yeah. But the thing is, Lambert has set up Rodriguez for his last few goals, hasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Lambert can play that role.
He's part of the puzzle.
He can play provider, yeah.
Headed goals.
And like I said, if Nolan's not there for Carroll, A to chaperone and B to set up, because the only person he seems to set up goals for is Nolan, then there's no point in going. There's a few other big ones down the bottom. Cardiff Palace, big game.
That's a good match.
At Cardiff, big game. I mean, you can't not what Tony Pulis has done, can you?
I really want Palace to stay up now.
Yeah, I do as well.
And you just look at, I basically want the clubs that have sacked their managers to go down. Cardiff, West Brom, Fulham. I see those three being the three.
Yeah, I agree with you. I can't see Fulham coming out of this.
Fulham are pretty fucked now.
Yeah, I can't see them coming out of this.
They gave it a good go against Everton. They really did give it a good, because it was 1-1, I think it was. I think they brought it back to 1-1, I think they did. Fantastic strike from the geezer whose name I can't pronounce. And at 1-1, you're thinking...
Oh, De Jager.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
Fulham player. Yeah,
and you see the geezer in the crowd hold up a sign saying De Jager just before he hit it, I think, and then he scored.
Yeah.
It was like some sort of psychic septic peg moment.
Excellent.
Yeah, and...
Septic peg.
Hull Swansea.
They're both pretty much out of trouble, and yeah, that should be a draw, probably. Hull are playing quite well.
Villa, I mean, yeah, Fulham going away to Villa.
For them as well,
no chance.
West Brom kicking
why
themselves.
Why did West Brom get rid of
I honestly never got that.
Yeah.
Long is fucking quality.
Yeah.
For a team of that sort of level.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
West Brom could have really done with him as well. Mm. So, again, very confusing why they did
that. Man United to slip up at Newcastle.
Fingers crossed.
You never know. It could be a reaction from how badly Newcastle have been slagged off for that performance. But
yeah,
I just see them cruising through for the rest of the year and doing fuck all.
Yeah.
They got a team full of French fellas that don't really give a fuck about Newcastle. So why would they play for something when they ain't got nothing to play for?
Yeah, very true.
But really the only one that's looking at the top really is Chelsea, Stoke.
Norwich, West Brom will be a massive game. Because if Norwich win that's Norwich safe, I reckon.
There is only five.
Still
this will be the,
this
be the sixth game.
And Norwich
remaining
have got that horrendous top four, final five games, haven't they?
Oh yeah,
they've got really got running. Yeah.
I think Norwich have to win that, or they could.
Very
be,
true. Chelsea Stoke should be a.
Stokes.
A bit of a snooze fest.
Which is an oxymoron, if ever you heard one. Oxymoron, I think is that the biggest word ever to be used on a podcast?
I believe it is.
Fucking get it.
You're going to have to tweet the meaning of that.
I'm going to have to look it up first. obviously, we've talked about Everton and Arsenal, and then West Ham, Liverpool. Can West Ham stop the juggernaut that is Liverpool? Probably not.
You get odd results, but you wouldn't think so.
As much as it pains me to say it, I think Liverpool are in a really good shout of getting the title. So, and they're all riding on the coattails of recent results. So they've got everything behind them. So
yeah.
I can't.
As much as it pains me to say it, they're probably going to do very well.
I know a few Liverpool fans that would really piss me off if they won the league.
Yeah.
Because they'd be so fucking smug about it.
But they're starting to get excited now.
Yeah, I know.
We've never been this close before.
But I genuinely like what.
I'm not repeating that Scouse accent.
Was that an attempt at a Scouse accent? Jesus Christ. But I genuinely, part of me does want to see Liverpool win the league for the Gerrard, the whole commitment to your club and this and that. And part of me does want to see it. And I like Brendan Rodgers.
He's done well.
Even if he is a bit too David Brentish for my liking.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that?
No, the documentary.
Guardian put up on a daily quiz, football quiz or whatever, 10 quotes. Which one's David Brent?
Oh, yeah. I think Mirror did it as well.
I didn't have a fucking clue which
he should be a middle manager.
Of them were Brendan Rodgers and they were David Brent, and you couldn't tell it.
Wow.
Fucking hilarious.
Ah, dear.
Spurs Sunderland on the Sunday, on the Monday, is it?
Yeah, who cares? Sunderland do on Monday night, I suppose.
Year result for Spurs. Sunderland have been shocking recently, so.
Means fuck all now. With a bit of luck, we'll lose and we'll end up seventh. Over the water, Melbourne Heart. So close again. It was a big ask. They were playing newly crowned champions Brisbane War. I've got blocked nose today. I'm really fucking struggling. Brisbane
Roar. That's a good
name for him.
Brisbane War.
who went down. I mean, Heart went 1-0 up. They went 1-0 up in the first half, and then the scummiest scumbag in the A League, Berisha, who has become the first player to receive 3 red cards in one season. he's such a scumbag. In the 49th minute, unfortunately, they were just too much for the Heart. They came back to win 2-1 after Aziz Bekic's opener. But they're second bottom on goal difference.
When's the season close?
Like one game left, I think there is.
Really? Okay.
And then the playoff starts.
Right.
That's when it starts getting a bit more interesting. But
I would have thought they'd gone like the Northern Irish League and gone to our summer months league, because surely the winter down there would be better for them to play those games in.
Yeah.
Because it does get cracking on in the summer.
I don't know whether it's anything to do with the World Cups and the CONCACAF and all that, like, that they play.
Potentially.
They don't want it.
Because they play in the Asian.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Asian Champions League as well, yeah.
Potentially.
But it's all about looking forward to next season now. Obviously, it's going to be exciting with the association with Man City. Well, being owned by him. Man City. So,
a bit of money's going to be pumped in.
Yeah, with a bit of luck.
Well, hopefully all the young talent will go with them as well.
Yeah, which will be great for the heart. Mm. Well, I think that about do it.
We've
definitely not missed Coxon.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad he wasn't here to talk about United. And hopefully, with a bit of luck, by the time next week comes around, he'll be miserable again.
Yeah.
Because we all like to see that. Usual score, I've got a crib sheet with me. It's banter@footballpubcast.co.uk, @footballpubcast on Twitter, Facebook, The Football Pubcast, and the new website, which is so long and complicated, I don't even know what it is, but we'll tweet it and you'll see it. Thank you very much.
Nice one, see you.
Bye.